And good evening to our listening friends on the World Wide Web. This is CBAC Radio Broadcast. And welcome one and all this special program that we are having today, December the 21st, 2012. Today we're going to look into the doomsday predictions or prophecy that is articulated by many astrologers and psychics, those who read tarot cards and numerologists and so on, those who believe that according to the Mayan calendar, the earth is to end today, December 21st, 2012. Daybreak doesn't come. All remains dark. The world has come to an end. Well, the fact that we are here this evening is proof that the world has not come to an end. But many ancient cultures from across the globe describe events that seem to indicate the end of civilization as we know it. You know, if you read the ancient Sanskrit, the Hindu writings, they believe in what is called an end time event, an apocalyptic event, as it were, an eschatological position. You also have that existing among the Muslims. We have it existing among the Jews. They believe that Messiah is still to come, that Messiah has not yet arrived. And from the Christian perspective, we also believe in a last day event. But in the Bible, we are told, Christ himself in the book of Matthew told us in Matthew chapter 24, there are some warnings given when the disciples asked Christ about the end of the age, the end of the earth. And Christ warned the disciples, and of course, implicatively us, he says in verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." In verse 11, it says, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." And again in verse 24, we are told, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch that, as if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, these warnings are to be taken very seriously because Christ we consider to be the greatest of all prophets, and so far we've seen what is in the scriptures has been fulfilled. So today we are looking into this whole issue of the Mayan calendar. What is it? And what did they predict way back then? And what are some of the views that exist today? We are told that about 10% of the world's population believe that these prophecies have some credibility. Also, 15% of Americans believe in some doomsday event. Now, the world in which we are living exists where there is a tipping point. The world that we are living in is going through some serious issues. We have serious issues as far as energy, the energy system is concerned. We have serious issues as far as the climate system, our financial state, serious issues, food production, water issues, and so on. Now, among these ancient people, they believe that every 26,000 years, the sun will align itself with the Milky Way galaxy and create what is called a dark rift. And based upon this concept, it is said that great cataclysmic events occurs on the world, at a world's cage, you know, and the world is going to come to an end. So we're going to look into this evening. We solicit your participation. We engage you in whatever form. You know, you can contact us at email or telephone or even on our blogs and so on. So we welcome you again to this discussion. We have in studio with us Brother Dean Holder. Brother Dean Holder is a person who is under control of the whole system here for our radio program. Very experienced and talented young person, also experienced in the Word of God in biblical research and study. We also have Brother Nirmal Bryan, and he is also very studious in the scriptures. A lot of knowledge, you know, technical knowledge and expertise in biblical exegesis. We also have Sophie Gomez. She is also a researcher and a person of years and years of studies in the scriptures. We also have Brother Angie Shepherd. Angie Shepherd is an expert in prophecies, the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, and also biblical exegete. We also have Sister Vitalis Jack, who is also a Bible worker, who a Christian that loves God, has a passion for Christ, and she loves to sing. So I welcome one and all to this discussion, brethren, and those that are listening to us and are participating. We hope that you gain some great knowledge to help you to come to a decision that is scientific, a decision that is rational and logical, a decision that can actually help us all to become better persons, that we may not be deceived by the speculations of men, so-called prophets and seers and, you know, these new age prognosticators, but that we'll stick to the word of God and to stick to that which is factual. Okay, so to begin the discussion, we want to look at what are the main views concerning the Mayan doomsday prediction. You know, what are the main views? You know, going way back in history, if you look at all cultures, they have some kind of idea that this world will not last forever. And of course, we know as Christians, sin causes death on the earth. And Satan, who is the author of sin, is the roaring lion going about the earth seeking to destroy the inhabitants of the world. And so, in so many different forms and shapes, there is this belief or this idea in a doomsday when the world will come to an end, you know, in a cataclysmic way, you know, disasters and destructions and so on. So it has been mirrored in all the various cultures and people and so on. But what we want to authenticate tonight or this evening here is to see which one of these are valid. Is it the Mayan prophecy? Is it what, you know, exists among the Hindus or the Buddhists or the Taoists or Christians or what? So we're going to look at today into the idea of the predictions by the Mayans. So the floor is open for those who want to give their views, give their ideas, their knowledge, their experience as to exactly what are some of the views concerning the Mayan doomsday prophecy. Who's going to take it here?
All right, well, just a short thing to say that the Mayans themselves did not make any prophecy. What this happens is that their calendar, which is called the Long Count calendar, came to an end on December 21st. What happens is that the calendar begins in the year corresponding 3114 BC, what is it called? It moves in a cycle of 394-year periods known as Baktuns. And the winter solstice of 2012 marks the end of the 13th Baktun. The archaeologists have said that, well, I'm reading from an article that came from the BBC today, it said the day 2012 is, some believe, the end of the Long Count calendar of the Mayan civilization. Last year, experts said a new reading of the calendar showed that it did not in fact predict the apocalypse. So the experts are saying they did not predict any apocalypse. People are saying that these things, they are putting their own interpretation to the end of this Long Count period. So what we have is that they have indicated that this Long Count period comes to an end on December 21st. But then other people put in their own things to indicate that this means now, they interpret that to mean that some cataclysmic thing is going to take place. We have thousands of people have gathered at ancient sites in Central America and elsewhere in anticipation of what they believe will be the end of the world.
So who are really the main interpreters of the Mayan calendar where they make the prediction of a doomsday? If the calendar itself is not people, predicting.
Other people put meaning to the end of the thing. And they come up with all different versions of what they could please. In fact, in China, police have arrested, again quoted from the BBC, hundreds of members of a Christian group who apparently believe the prophecy or that the idea is that something is going to happen. Well, of course, they're quoting us Christian group here, but we don't know to what extent are they really. Who are these people? All right, they just probably identify themselves as Christian or whatever. We are living in a time when there are a lot of anxious people around in terms of what is going to happen. People are really on the edge of things in terms of economics and politics and so on. What is going to happen this is the time we are living in, at the time of the earth now. And it is interesting to know that where is this all coming from? Why is it at this point in time, why are we having all this sort of anxiety in the world?
Yeah, okay. First and foremost, before we get beside ourselves, right, one of the things that we must first take a look at is that as it relates to the 2012 phenomenon, all persons don't subscribe to this doomsday event as it stands presently. Some people actually believe that on the 21st of December, there's going to be a change, not in terms of a destruction, but a change in consciousness.
Right.
So there's a new age element that is out there that is promoting that the December 25th phenomenon that brings an end the long con calendar of the Mayans is significant in the context of
some
bringing
spiritual awakening.
Some spiritual awakening that is to take place on the date. Mm-hmm. Hence, a year in advance to December 21st, there was a selling out of all the hotels in areas surrounding Chichen Itza, right, in Mexico, which is supposed to be one of the major worship points of the existent Mayans today. So we could see that those people who went there didn't went there awaiting some cataclysmic event, but they went there to be part of a new awakening, or as some persons said in times past, the dawning of a new day. Mm-hmm. So you have those people who believe in that, and then you have those people who also believe in something cataclysmic. Now, the whole idea of 21st of December being a cataclysmic event, or an event that would bring to an end to the world as we know it, really stemmed from what we could call the Popol Vuh. If you know about the Popol Vuh is supposed to be a compilation of the ancient Mayans, where in it they actually believe that we are living in the fourth world. So there were three previous worlds that was destroyed, and here it is, the fourth world is coming to an end, so to speak, meaning the long con calendar is coming to an end in the fourth world. And some authors, and I'll call the person's name, in 1966, a person by the name of Michael D. Coe, he wrote in the Maya that there is a suggestion, this is his quote, there is a suggestion that Armageddon would overtake the degenerate people of the world and all creation on the final day of the 13 Baktun. Thus, our present universe would be annihilated in December 2012. So it was this person in 1966, person by the name of Michael D. Coe, who first made that suggestion that the end of that long con calendar is really indicative of something cataclysmic.
Yeah.
So it was never in the understanding of the Mayans,
right,
that the ending of this long con meant the end of the world. In fact, the Mayans actually believed that history was cyclical. So they never believed that it was going to be the end of the world.
Just to reiterate something here. A lot of the archaeologists who have found the writings or the hieroglyphics of the Mayans, at the end of it, dealing with the same long con calendar, there is a breakage in the archaeological find. They stated that it will end on the 21st of December 2012. That's the calculation. But what exactly will happen was never found.
Right.
That section of the archaeological find was not existing. In 2010, when the movie 2012 was made and was released to the world, then the whole euphoria started to grow wider. So all around the world, you were seeing people was making all preparation. Some people stake their lives, even build an ark. This guy built an ark in Japan. A lot of doomsday preppers, as they are called today, they started to bank and make sure they have stocks, they have all the things that they need to survive this so-called cataclysmic end.
One other thing, Brother Shepherd, even in the words of the Mayan shamans and peoples who exist today,
right, true.
If they were the ones who followed after the great ancestors, who would be the persons who would have propagated this whole system of keeping of time, even they and all attest to the fact that they don't believe that anything cataclysmic was going to end on December 21st. They don't believe that. They follow the same pattern that their reckoning of time is cyclical. It was the end of a long count, which would automatically mean the beginning of a new.
Right.
That's all they understood.
Okay. So we have two views here so far. One view is that they are those, what they call the doomsayers, right, who believe that the world is going to end in 2012 based upon their interpretation of the Mayan calendar. And then there are those who, like the Mayans, as is being articulated now, did not believe in a destruction of the Earth, but that the Earth was going to take on a new form, a rebirth of the Earth, based upon their view of history in a cyclic sense, right? So my question is, on both counts, what are the benefits, the values? If you believe there's going to be a doomsday, how credible is that? And if the Earth is to have like a cycle, a rebirth, how credible is that? Are these things biblical? Do they make sense? Are they logical? You know, even what happened in history, was it really factual? You know, what have we to say about all of these things?
It brings this into mind. I remember as a young man growing up, a little boy, he was moving away. We were in the 70s. We were moving away from the age of the fish and coming into the age of Aquarius. Apparently, the new age, now the age of Aquarius is the age of the new ages. Eh? That's when the new ages are now bringing spirituality into the world. This kind of monotone Christian view was dying. So here it is. They themselves went through, so to speak, what they think Christians went through, the Christian faith went through. And now they are holding on to the same Mayan philosophy that there will be a rebirth of the new age. In Mexico there, Guatemala, certain parts of, I think, Honduras, another parts where the Mayans dominated.
South America. Mm-hmm.
Right? So Central and South America. Mm-hmm. You'll notice today a lot of the information from all the news media show how they brought in this. They viewed it not as a great cataclysmic end. They viewed it as a cyclical change. So you find the new ages now grabbing onto that and say, ah, we need to have some new life into our philosophy to be pumped into our philosophy so that we could get people to come in. So now you get new life, you'll get a lot of them. A lot and lot of them will follow this whole matter.
Well, the whole idea of the apocalypse, and the word itself, the word apocalypse is understood, is interpreted to mean an end of things. But the word itself, when you look at scripture, it means revelation, it means something to reveal. In fact, in the book of Daniel, and Daniel chapter 2 says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and make it known to people, or into Nebuchadnezzar. And at this point in time, Daniel, we know the Jewish prophet, he was involved in the Babylonian kingdom and so on. So it, in Daniel chapter 2 verse 29 says, that as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into my mind, thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets make it known to thee, the end, what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. So the idea is that the Bible shows that God is a revealer of secrets, and the book that reveals everything is the book of Revelation. So as the world interprets the word apocalypse to mean the end of a cataclysmic end, the Bible doesn't go that way, so that you have, God doesn't leave men running up and down like headless chickens. God reveals his word so that people who are followers of the Bible and the followers of the God of the Bible would be calm and would know what is happening in the world. So that anytime you see people running helter-skelter and doing all kind of crazy things, saying like the sky is going to fall and things like that, they clearly have no idea what they're talking about. So, and we can see this today, in December 21st, about the doomsday people and so on. They have no idea what they're talking about.
Amen.
So are you all saying that those who believe in a doomsday, the 10% in the world, the 15% in North America, there's no credibility to it?
No.
Right?
We have evidence today.
None whatsoever. Right.
And then also those who believe in the New Age ideas of the reboot, they're saying there's no credibility.
None whatsoever.
I want you all to dwell on that a little more and explore it a little bit. All right. You know, to show this idea, what did the Mayans actually believe in? And this concept of a rebirth every 5,000 years or whatever, how is that beneficial to mankind? Is there really such a thing when you compare to the Bible?
The Mayans base their cyclical beliefs upon the agricultural settings that they lived amongst. How they did their harvesting, their corn, which we know as maize, and all the other things. Their husbandry, which is dealing with the animals. These are the things they believed in. But you're setting yourself up for a great disappointment in looking at nature, to find in nature some sort of religious, some sort of spiritual appeasement or satisfaction. You can't find it in nature.
They fully understand that you see life and death, like
good,
summer,
yes. Winter,
and then
autumn,
things go
spring,
cold, sorry. Almost dead in winter, and then you see it springing back up.
Right.
So they follow the nature, the pattern of nature, and think that things work in cycle. They take it towards the ultimate extent,
right. Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, then life itself must be
cyclical.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems that time itself is cyclical. And you have this concept of reincarnation.
Yeah.
Birth, death, a cycle of birth and death occurring in many religions. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new. But the Bible does not give us that kind of understanding of life.
No.
The Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
Death is not a natural element to man. It's a foreign to man. God created man perfect and upright,
mm-hmm.
with life. So that understanding of death is not according to the God as revealed in the Bible.
True.
I just want to make a short point here. You know, for any one of us who have ever watched, you know, people or even participated, God forbid now, you know, gambling. You know, the persons who gamble, there's something called the sleight of hand. And there's something about this whole issue of 2012. To me, I see the devil play a masterful hand in the whole thing. Because as Christians, we are really moralists. And we are not just interested in dates and times unless it is in accordance to the revelation of God. Because each time prophecy had a certain significance to the saints and to the world at large. God was calling and God was pointing them to certain significant things. But the thing about it is that here it is, we have people, you know, they're throwing a whole tantrum and they're focusing all their energies and strength on 2012 and a doomsday event, when the morality of the Mayans are seemingly overlooked and downplayed to the extent that Christians and all, they just argue 2012 can't be this, 2012 can't be that. But the bottom line is, what about the morality of the Mayans as it relates to their livelihood and their contributions to this world? What really and truly is the value of that to us as they come down to us through history? There was this gentleman, a Mayan, a descendant from the Mayans, and who gave his understanding of 2012. And he showed, well, these things, you know, that people are saying, these Westerners concerning a doomsday, it is not written in the mine understanding of 2012. But he also said that what it really meant, the significance of 2012, is really the beginning of a new cycle. And the person was questioning him, asking, so what do you do, or what would you be doing on that day? And he said he would be praying to the sun. He would be praying to the sun.
Right.
So to him,
the sun is God.
And that day is really a marker for such, you know, such devotion and worship. But we can't overlook the fact that the Mayans were very brutal in their whole
Right, that is the important thing.
In their whole life worship and
their worship. Their worship was brutal.
The whole society was one whatsoever. That was drenched in blood. The culture was drenched in blood.
So therefore, they are not authority in terms of morality.
But my point is what really makes them be seated in the hearts of men as an authority to determine when
to know
the life air,
to
end,
know,
yeah,
to know the end
overlooking, right. Overlooking the brutal and murderous culture and religious practice of these people. And they, when the Spaniards came to that part of the world, what
Cortez.
Did they meet? What did they meet? They didn't meet a people who was peaceful
and highly moral
and loving and so advanced and whatever. How could a society be advanced when it doesn't even understand what it means to respect the rights of another human being? Right. So that can really be advancement.
One important thing that you highlighted is that God is information about future events would come from a higher intelligence than normal man.
Mm-hmm.
And we take that to mean God.
Right.
But in the Bible, it shows that the prophet Daniel said, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living."
Mm-hmm.
So here it is, he's showing that it is not because of a personal morality sake or because of his goodness that God revealed to him personally, but that God wanted to make known what was coming to pass. So the idea is that information from future events comes from God, as we understand from the Bible.
Right.
And that this could be proven because there are prophets in the Bible who had made predictions and they come to pass.
Right.
For example, the birth of Christ,
mm-hmm.
his resurrection, all those things were prophesied and it came to pass.
Yeah.
So we could trust the Bible in terms of its prophecies.
Right. And the intent of those prophecies.
And the intent and
so is for the good of man.
Just to add to strengthen, right? In 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 19 to 21, these assured words, as Peter himself was moved of the Spirit, moved by the inspiration of God. He says this: "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, as Daniel stated." As you just read that, what Daniel stated, "It is not of me." He going to say, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So it is important to see that, at least from scripture, the foundation of it is based upon morality, not immorality. As history shows, when you look at the documentaries that will be produced by Discovery or National Geographic, and you look at the life and in the retracing by archaeology, by these of the Mayans, the Aztecs, all of them practice the same religious philosophy. They worship the elements, creation, and also they had no respect whatsoever for the life of individuals.
They had human sacrifice.
That is the key point. That is what Cortez.
It is a historical fact.
Mm-hmm. That is what Cortez.
The Spanish came.
That is what Cortez fought. That is what Cortez fought against.
They were staggered by the brutality
of their religious philosophy.
Those Mayan temples are at the top.
How it was based.
They would stab and rip out the heart, beaten heart, and kick the body down the steps.
And in fact, there was a great sacrifice around the 25th of December.
Right.
Yeah, there was this one event that was written into history where the Spaniards who came to Central America there, they saw a flame and smoke burning on a mountaintop. And when they approached the mountain, as they get closer, they saw the remains of a human body where the whole stomach and whatever gorged out.
Intrigued.
And the fire burning from within. Fires burning from within that body. So this is the kind of culture, this is the kind of religious practices that was existent in the time of the Mayas. These are the things that they practice. And here it is, we are being told that these are, you know, these great seers,
Right.
And they kept such great record of time. And even amidst all the mythology concerning the three worlds, and this is the fourth world, the Western mind seems to not, you know, to be as analytical as it needs to be, to, you know, to stray away from those things, but embraces it and accepts.
It shows so much the time we live in it. Mm-hmm. And people just want information. They don't care. We are ripped. It seems that information is that, or things that relate to whatever particular subject is of interest. It's just because we have the internet and so much information around, people have sort of cut the ties in terms of where the information comes from.
Right.
So that morality is ripped away from information. For people just want to know what is happening.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how to behave.
Right. And how authentic.
Or who is that given this message.
And how authentic the information really is.
Yeah. Right.
What is the credibility?
Yeah.
How could I take this information now and disseminate it back to society?
Right.
Where society could have a much better character, much better behavior, much better development.
If they were so good at predictions, why didn't they predict their own downfall?
Extinction.
When the population fell so fast.
Yeah.
And the whole empire crumbled, basically.
Because of sickness and disease, that is why it made them disappear off
the planet. If they were making predictions, then they should have seen that one.
Okay, Sister Sophie, you want to say something now?
Yes, good night to all the listeners. You know, from a Christian point of view, we always take what the Bible says, and we always judge each person by their belief and their practices. You know, the Bible really says to prove all things and to hold on to that which is truth. Now, you know, when I type in the Mayans and the religion, you know, I came across some very, very strange and fearful practices being done by the Mayans, and I'll just read a little portions, not very much. It says the Mayan tribes have left behind a history of a great and awe-inspiring culture full of interesting traditions. The Mayan culture supported a nature worshipping religion, and the Mayan tribes worshipped nature gods such as the gods of rain, sun, and corn. The Mayans gave great importance to astronomy. Human sacrifice was a part of the Mayan religious ceremony. A class of people called Mayan priests performed the rituals of the Mayan temples. The followers of the Mayan religion believe in a relationship between human beings and superhuman beings. Mayan priests carry out human sacrifices. The chief priest held down the victim while another priest cut out his heart. Now, imagine this brutality being done by Mayan priests. Today, you know, people...
That's a religion without a heart.
A religion without a heart. And you know, the information is there. It has the whole World Wide Web. It's so sad to see intelligent people using these brutal people to calculate the end of the world. I mean, people, come on. We're living in an age of enlightenment. If they're using this as a sign to see new enlightenment, I mean, this is new darkness they find themselves in. And the Bible rightly said in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, etc. So it's a sad thing to see 10% of the world population, 15% of North America, believing that the world will come to an end based upon a calendar used by people who used to actually kill people. You know, if they research and they understand clearly, they will come across the truth. And again, I repeat myself, the Bible said, prove all things and hold on to that which is truth. And from a Christian point of view, this is our stand. We have to prove all things, and we can't follow a religion that worship nature, sacrifice human being, and they are the judge for us to judge things that happens in the world and things that to come. See, it is very sad to see intelligent people believing in these things.
What people miss, they miss the morality that is existing. But the thing it is, we have as Christians, we have undeniable evidence that the God of this creation left his abode and came in a temple of flesh, existed some 2,000 years ago. It is the only human being that actually died in the history of the earth, and evidence and witnesses saw him. That's 3 days later. 3 days later they saw him. That in itself is the greatest issue that is existing. And you'll always get a rival to it. The rival to it is today we are dealing with this issue.
I think we should deal with the whole idea that this man you talk about, Jesus, what does he say about his envy? We should get straight to the
Sister Sophie there is
perched
indeed and set to make another statement.
Yeah, but Bill Sheppy made a statement earlier on where he showed this guy in chapel actually built an ark. You know, it's really amazing. But the thing about it, the Bible never said that the earth will be destroyed again by flood. Even God himself, after he destroyed the earth in Noah's time, he sent a rainbow and he promised. And as a Christian, I don't think God will return upon his word. And the Bible shows in Revelation that the final destruction of the earth will be taking place by fire. So I would really like to meet that guy and see his expression upon his face. What is his expression? You know?
Just to come back to the point about the noble made, what Jesus Christ stated. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus made set an important precedent to what his disciples, after an issue had happened in the temple, and when Jesus left the temple, he would no more enter back into it. So while on the Mount of Olives, right, this is the antecedent calamities that are to take place just before he comes. It says here from verse 3 of chapter 24, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now look at the three important questions that they ask. When shall these things be, the destruction of the temple? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Then he goes on to tell them this, and this sets the whole precedent of what is to be expected. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Very important. So deception is existing amongst us in many spheres and in many forms. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So we have that clear that these things are going on amongst us. That is factual. Mm-hmm. There are famines, there are earthquakes, there are tsunamis, there are pestilences. Many of things are existing. Jesus went on so far from verse 24. He says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And this part of it, for the end to take place, we have here in verse 14, he says, and this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, shall be preached into all the world for a witness or a testimony unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So the gospel is a moral thing coming to the world that men may make a decision to change their lives and be morally upright.
So our time is almost out. We just want to get some closing comments from some of the panelists here. What they think of this whole thing. Brother Numel?
In just responding to what Brother Sheppy said, it's so true that the Christ had said that the end shall only come after the gospel has been preached. We live in an age of information and technology and communication. So clearly, the true gospel is being preached out there, but we can say that maybe there are places and people who need to be touched, and perhaps this radio station and this is doing that,
amen.
You know? So that's good, and we hope that, you know, we achieve that. Pray by grace of God that this conversation here would enlighten people towards that.
Sister Sophie, closing line.
Okay, well, the Bible clearly tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh, so cometh as a thief in the night. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15 says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. The Bible clearly tells us that the day of the Lord, we know not when it shall come, we know not the end of the world, not even the angels know. But even though we don't know, that does mean we have to live loose, that does mean we have to be careless. We have to always be prepared as if it is our last day.
Okay, Sister Vitalis, closing comments.
I'd like to say pleasant good night to everyone that's listening. The Word of God said to study the Word, that you will show yourself to be approved. So when you study the Word of God, and you ask God to give you knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, He will reveal Himself to you, so you will not get fooled. And remember what God say, to be approved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I will just end with a scripture reading. It's taken from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41, from verse 17. And I think it's really in the spirit of what Brother Nirmal had just said a while ago, and Brother Shepherd to the next end, right? It says this in verse 17. It says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, the Lord will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And if you look at the word poor, it's really those who are depressed and distressed by circumstance. It goes on, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittim tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree will set in the desert, the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together. We know the trees there really represent the Christians. And in a dry and barren place, we could say, is this world of depressed minds and people who really are longing for a word, an understanding to really know the certainty of what the end will be. It goes on in verse 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord had done this, and the Holy One of Israel had created it. Produce your cause, say the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, say the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you are nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up, and it goes on to explain about the prophecy of Christ coming. The point here is that here it is, God says, in a dry and barren place where people are perplexed and they are longing and thirsting for water, which is really the word, they're longing to understand the certainty of things. God said he will plant cedar trees. He will plant the fir trees, which is supposed to be the Christians. So they will be the ones to bring hope, to bring light, and to really challenge the arguments that are out there. God is saying, if you are God, you proclaim the past, you proclaim the future. You do good, you do evil. And today today is the 20, the 22nd. So the 21st have passed and we are still here. So in essence, we could say that those prophecies didn't come from God. they had no value upon us. I felt no change in my being, and I saw no change in the world. Amen. So at the end of the day, God still has showed himself to be God, proclaiming the past, proclaiming the things that are present, and the things that are yet to come.
Thank you very much. This gospel, the Bible says, shall be preached into all the world. This gospel, not a Mayan speculative philosophy, right? We are all here alive today, and we thank God because this is an opportunity for us to accept this gospel. This has been CBAC Seventh-day Adventist online radio broadcast, and we hope that you will join us again for another wonderful and exciting discussion. God bless you. Thank you.